Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. The big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $50 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
See participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
McCall from Rochester writes, what's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby is saving people money on their favorite hobbies. I quite enjoy connecting people who'd like to save money insuring their RVs, motorcycles, and ATVs through Geico.
That counts as a hobby? I thought that was your job.
Well, as the saying goes, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life.
Wow. If you're not working, that sure leaves a lot more time for camping and motorcycle riding.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hello! That's Jerry Seinfeld. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. We got
you know,
another
I think
great
I
show.
Should start off the show. I feel like I've been kind of hosting the show without you the last couple of weeks.
Let me
I sort of got it. I know how to do it without you.
And I say this without fear of contradiction. I'm way more fun.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, I think Amanda McClemens was a lot of fun, too.
She's just better looking than
I am. Well, that goes without saying.
All right.
Sorry.
Show's
hey,
over.
Wait, no. Before you get into it, we have to do some shout outs. We have some special
Mike and Anna Rad of Potomac, Maryland are listening to the show.
Hello.
Masood, baby. All right.
Oh, wait, one more.
Who?
The Scramble is listening. Aviva Goldfarb and her family.
Hi, Aviva. Okay, so they're
there
listening.
You go.
All right, so we got a crazy show today. We got lots going on, tons of food in. One of my favorite Italian chefs in the world, Enzo Fargioni, is in. He was at Teatro Goldoni, and now he's opening up a new restaurant down in Penn Quarter, and you'll hear all about that, but the guy can't cook.
And there are pies in studio, lots of pies. We actually dug into them last night.
Is it true that pie R-square?
Okay. And Tiffany McIsaac from Neighborhood Restaurant Group is in. She brought her pies with her. We're going to be talking about what she's doing these days. And Alex Strange is in the studio with lots and lots and lots of different liquors.
And we got a couple of guys in from the DuPont Grill. Executive Chef Sylvain Kramer and Executive Sous Chef David Frichet.
Yeah.
Did I say that right, David? I hope so.
Well, we'll find out. Yes, he says yes, you did. All right. Very good.
Thank God I'm back. All right.
Okay.
So, Alex, why don't we start with you?
Well, actually, we've been going to Frederick a lot because we're getting a new puppy.
You guys have been in a lot.
Yes, but I was in with, actually, Amanda McClements, David Hagedorn, and Amber Pfau just last week for a little birthday Frederick crawl. We went through a ton of restaurants in a very short period of time, but we did start out with you at Chabro, and you gave us such an incredible cocktail demonstration that I had to have you in ASAP. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you wound up mix and mad cocktails.
And don't leave out the good parts.
Yeah, put it all in there.
He was born in a log cabin.
All right. Okay. How about letting him talk? Go ahead.
Started out, I did musical theater when I was a kid. And then, grew up. And
okay, let's not be shy. Where did we do musical theater?
We did musical theater in New York on Broadway. did Gavroche in Les Miserables.
Do you want to sing a note or two?
Itty Bitty Lea Michele.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll see if you're
okay, later in the show. We'll get you liquored up, and then we'll hear you sing.
Exactly.
Love it.
And then did Les Mis for about 2.5 years, and then went back to California, where we're all from, and opened the U.S. production of Ragtime, and then was scouted from there to go and open the original Broadway cast of Ragtime.
How much fun. Okay, so how did you take your acting career and evolve into a bar chef?
It was actually an easy transition. Okay. I mean, moved back to
another
New York.
Form of theater, so
exactly.
to speak.
They started drinking in the theater. And then...
Well, we'll get into that later. But basically moved back to New York to continue to pursue theater, and you know, realized, of course, you have to work really hard to live in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like every other, you know, starving artist, I guess, fell mm-hmm. into bartending and. It presented an awesome opportunity because I worked with really influential, really top-tier bartenders. And it was kind of like trading one stage for another. You were still able to be completely creative mm-hmm. and have a blast, but you're also able to be personable and you deal with people on a regular basis. So it's a blast.
Okay, so we'll get to how you got to Chabreau mm-hmm. a little later in the show, but you have quite a cocktail program there that you initiated, correct? Mm-hmm. So tell us, you got like a minute. Tell us about the program and what's your first drink?
The cocktail program at Chabreau, it was an awesome opportunity to come to an area like Frederick and mm-hmm. bring something that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to really stress the classical methods. I took a lot of inspiration from a gentleman by the name of David Embry. He wrote a series of measurement tables back in the late 1800s.
Right.
And it's all about house-made ingredients. Everything's hand-done.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do sour mixes. If you order a drink, you'll see me cut the lemon in front of you and squeeze it into the drink.
Mm-hmm.
We make our own bitters, our own tinctures, drams, cordials.
I like that word.
And
what,
we'll
dram?
Be starting...
No, tinctures.
Tinctures.
I like the word. I don't know. It's just something about
okay.
it. Go
and
ahead.
We'll be launching a series of cocktail seminars in which mm-hmm. I'll be teaching cocktail classes at the bar starting in January. It'll be the first Sunday of every month.
Cool.
So those will be great. We're going through everything from history lessons on Prohibition-era cocktails to how to choose the right ice to mm-hmm. barrel-aging cocktails and bitters. So it's going to be a blast. We're getting a lot of interest in it, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, more importantly,
yes, let's
what are you making for us?
Down to brass tacks here. The first drink I'm going to start out with you guys is something really light. It's called the Hollywood Party Planner. Light and alcohol, really great summer patio drink.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take 10 green grapes
okay.
and muddle them,
mm-hmm.
i.e. crush them up.
Right.
And then we're going to mix that with 2 ounces of Riesling, mm-hmm. white wine. Just about 2 ounces of that.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll add 1.25 ounces of vodka.
Mm-hmm. Any particular vodka? Are you a vodka fiend
I'm
these days?
I'm using 44 North. I'm actually kind of a vodka snob.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of classic Polish potato vodka.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know, actually, vodka comes originally from Poland and not Russia.
Well, they just sort of cornered.
Those Russians have taken everything.
Right, they cornered the advertising market, right?
They've taken everything from us.
All right, well, we're going to let you finish making that cocktail. We're going to roll in to Tiffany McIsaac.
We should say what Tiffany was up to last night.
Oh, absolutely. Kick it off.
Well, first of all, Tiffany is the executive pastry chef for Neighborhood Restaurant Group at Buzz Bakery and Birch and Barley and Rustico and all their restaurants. And she makes stuff that you wouldn't believe. And last night we were at the Acadia event out in the Vices of Virginia event out in what the heck's the name of the plantation?
Oh, Woodlawn.
Woodlawn Plantation, which was George Washington's nephew.
Well, tell us a little bit about the event. I mean, we were there, but tell us how NRG got into this.
Well, you know, Arcadia is our nonprofit farm, mm-hmm. and that was originally founded by the owner of NRG, Michael Babin.
Michael Babin.
And so, you know, it was just a chance for us to all pitch in and help Arcadia raise some money for a lot of really great projects they've got coming up in the next year, like the mm-hmm. mobile market, which you guys saw,
right.
The bus that takes, you know, farm fresh food into underserved neighborhoods.
That bus.
It's amazing.
It's
it looks like something
idea.
Out of a Scooby-Doo cartoon or something.
It
lime
is.
Green, lime green bus
like,
covered,
Thelma?
Covered in vegetables.
Right,
yeah, exactly. So we had the fundraiser, and mm-hmm. it was a blast. You know, some of the vices that made Virginia are whiskey and
cigars,
which
right.
I had too much of both,
okay.
so I'm glad I made it
well, we
this
have to
morning.
Say, they had a guy there rolling cigars, and
right.
it was an unbelievable... I had a fresh killed cigar that was delicious.
Well, and Catoctin Creek was there, and you had all those great Virginia wineries.
What's
also.
Funny was I originally met him on your show here.
I was going to say, he's been mm-hmm. in studio. I love when networking happens.
Yes,
how
yes,
much fun.
You brought us together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, they're doing great stuff, too. I mean, they're...
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, thank God we had the daylight savings
right.
extra hour.
I am going to stop this chit-chat, and let's get to pies, baby,
okay.
because
pies,
what I'm looking at in
yes.
front of us, I'm going to hold these up for the camera,
okay.
but we had some of these last night. I had to fight when the pies came out from the pie table. But
we were talking about that off air. I mean, talk about what like happened when dessert.
It was a pie frenzy.
It was a pie frenzy. It was insane.
No, wait. This is a pecan pie with chocolate. What's going on here?
It's got the bottom layer of the pecan pie is chocolate. Oh, there's bourbon in the batter, and then there's chocolate whipped cream on top of it.
Okay.
And what's the other one?
The other one is just classic Gala apple double crust pie.
Classic. Yeah, but it's not classic because the topping, the way you did the crust is really different. It looks like cookies.
Well, I don't like soggy pie crust, so we actually bake the bottom shell first and then fill it and then
top it.
Bake the second one on top. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so let's talk about your pie program because, you know, more and more these days we see cupcakes, you know, they're just so ubiquitous, they're everywhere, and you seem to be, why did I say it wrong?
No.
Okay. You seem to be like pushing the trend here for something new. So tell us about pies and how you got into it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because part of the reason why I became so obsessed with them is that my husband, Kyle, who you both know, is obsessed with apple pie.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first day that we made the apple pie this year, I took one home and the next morning found him leaning over the sink, holding half of it in his hand, eating it.
Oh, my God, I love
him. I mean, he can't get enough. So
when she finds me doing that, I go, put it on a plate.
Yeah, but he's so skinny. Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to blame me for having eaten the rest, but I didn't have a single bite. So.
Oh, my God.
The crust is really good. Mm.
Thank you. Mm.
It's delicious. It's a beautiful pie.
Thank you.
It cuts beautifully. Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
I was nervous. When the first slice comes out, you never know what's going to happen.
Excuse me. And the whipped cream has just the right amount of sugar. This is great. Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. Should be a pastry chef.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it. Just trying to make good food.
So he loves pie. But how did you decide to, like, launch it at Buzz and at all the other restaurants?
Well,
how'd that work out?
This is pie season.
Thank you. I think,
you know, everybody loves it. I'm kind of starting to see it trend a little bit as far as weddings go. People are requesting more unique tables rather than just doing cakes or cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
So the pie is something that I've really been pushing because it's great. You can get such a great assortment of different flavors and, you know, get something for everybody.
Well,
and
not to mention seasonality, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, summer you get, you know, raspberries and blueberries and
sour cherries, my favorite.
Right, pumpkin. Yeah. So tell us about some of the pies you're doing.
Well, you know, right now we're doing all the fall pies. So we're doing sweet potato.
Uh-huh.
We're doing the chocolate bourbon pecan.
Sweet potato, is that like southern? I mean, what's the basis of sweet potato pie?
I don't know. I just know it's good.
Okay, I was just curious.
Well, we actually do our sweet potato base. You know, we roast, obviously, the fresh sweet potatoes. We bake the base of the pie, and then we cover it in cranberry jam.
Ooh.
And then homemade marshmallow fluff on top of it.
Was that an experiment, or is that a classic recipe?
I just don't like when things are too sweet, so I always try and figure out a way to add something.
Crazy?
Something
right,
I've been told that I might be, but
okay. Guess,
and so where can people get your pies?
Well, you know, you can order them through either of our Buzz locations, Buzz in Alexandria or Ballston.
Uh-huh.
We are doing also the pickup at Birch and Barley on Monday and Wednesdays for the people in D.C. that can't quite make it out to do a pickup.
Going to Virginia. Oh, my God. How much
work
is
like
that?
It's almost like you think it's another state.
Right.
It is. The Potomac River.
So how do you order? You order it online?
You order it online, and we have a couple different things. You can buy the pies a la carte, which is just individually alone.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also doing a do-it-yourself pie bar. So you can buy them in packages where you get a pie, and then you also get caramel sauce, whipped cream, you know, candied cranberries, all kinds of different things to sort of make this, like, awesome buffet table for everybody to sort of share.
Oh, so, like,
And you have gluten-free options, too.
We do have gluten-free options, yes. We're always very kind to our gluten-free friends.
Well, how do you manage it? How do you do a gluten-free pie?
We do a crust just like you would do any other gluten-free thing. We do use our alternative flours.
So what are you using?
Rice flour, almond flour. You know.
And are you as happy with the results? I mean, how is it as a pastry chef with your palate? You know, you put out these just incredible desserts, these incredible pastries. When you have to do something gluten-free or with dietary restrictions, how do you feel about those
we
products?
We keep the menu of gluten-free things that we do very concise because we want to make sure that everything that they get is as good as the real thing. So instead of doing a ton of different things, we'd rather just do a few that we know are perfect.
If you have to eat gluten-free, the option of having nothing versus having something that's pretty close to the real thing is...
Yes.
Well, it should be good.
It should be good. Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. If it's not good, we don't want to make it. We get a lot of requests for things, and if it's outside of what we're really comfortable doing, we don't want to do it because I think people that have dietary restrictions get enough bad food.
Right.
We want to make sure when they get it from us, they're
okay. We have
it.
To take a
Wait
break.
A minute.
No.
I just want you to step on my foot, and when my mouth opens, just push the whole thing in there.
All right. We have to take a quick break while my husband eats an entire pie.
You betcha.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Fooding the Beast. We are talking pie with Tiffany McIsaac from Neighborhood Restaurant Group, and we are sipping on a fabulous little cocktail to kick off the morning from Alex Strange. When we get back, we'll be talking Italian food. We'll be back in just a sec.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau. The Fashion Center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army's service of every generation.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and Tiffany McIsaac from Neighborhood Restaurant Group.
I'm having a sugar high.
I know.
My head is starting to buzz. I just dug into the pecan pie. My head is totally, totally buzzing.
Can I ask you a question you're not prepared for, I'm sure? But,
no.
What about a cookbook? I mean, you do stuff that I've never seen before. So,
let's I have a lot on my plate right now between all of the restaurants.
I mean, how many restaurants are you working with?
It's about 7 restaurants and 2 bakeries. So that's a lot of chefs
to corral.
So,
well, speaking of that, tell us what you're making for these chefs and how you're working with everybody. I mean, Tony Chittum at Vermilion, your husband, obviously Kyle, at Birch and Barley, Tallulah. How are the desserts all differing, and what are some of your favorites that you're serving?
It's been so interesting working with so many different chefs because my relationship and how we develop the menu with each of them is so different. I mean, you know, some of the chefs just call me and say, hey, I want some new desserts. And some chefs really want to say, hey, I've got this product I want to use. I mean, it's really tailored to each restaurant, and it's been really fascinating getting to work with all of these chefs at the same time.
Well, that must be fun, too.
It is really fun. I mean, they're all really great people, so I'm very fortunate, you know.
Right.
I don't have any, you know, crazy chefs in the mix, so I'm lucky.
Well, at least then you're going to say
I'm a lucky pastry chef.
Except for the one you're married to.
Except for the one I'm married to, but that's
so what are your top, like, 3 favorite desserts that you're serving right now and where?
Well, at Birch and Barley, we're doing the peanut butter and jelly cheesecake, and that is always one of my favorites because I love Concord grape. Mm-hmm. So, actually, the season just ended a couple weeks ago, and before it ended, I bought 4 giant cases of it and made them cook it down and juice it and freeze it so I could extend the season a little bit on that. At Vermilion, they're doing an apple beignet, so it's a roasted Honeycrisp apple that they're battering in a beer batter and frying, and that one's...
So you
really
just develop the concept and then they execute it there?
It's a mix of things.
Okay.
You know, I think that some of the more difficult components we do at Birch and Barley and send to them every day.
Mm-hmm.
All the ice creams are made at Birch and Barley. And then, you know, I go to each of the restaurants, train them on how to make the desserts and leave the recipes
behind.
How
do you do all that? And I mean, I've been to Birch and Barley. The kitchen is... decent size,
it's not a decent size. That is a tiny, tiny kitchen.
Michael Babin, make a bigger kitchen. Note to Michael Babin.
My motto is always, we just have to make it, so you just have to find room.
That is
and
a good motto.
And they always do.
Right.
So.
Words to live by. That's how I treat food. Just have to eat it. So.
Right. You just have to power through.
Find the room.
Take one more bite. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know
you
had a crazy night last night. The pies are fabulous. So just tell everybody where they can buy those pies and how long you'll be doing them for.
Yes. You know, it's 72 hours notice on purchase, but we'll also have some in both shops on the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Pickup is Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving at both Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also place an order to be picked up at Birch and Barley in D.C. on Monday and Wednesday.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Is this an ongoing program? Will you, after Thanksgiving, will you do pie?
Yeah, we always have pies.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely a huge part of what we do there. And, you know, we do it a la mode when you come into the store. You can purchase whole ones to take away. But, you know, as far as the pie bar and stuff, this is something that I'm really just doing for Thanksgiving because it's such a fun, festive time.
It's such a good idea. Yeah. I just sort of can envision it at my dining room table, you know, setting it up after everybody's sort of gorged themselves on savory. What a nice way to, you know, finish it off with
dessert. When you come into Buzz, we actually have some tips on how to put together your own, how to, you know, pull things from all around your house that, you know, can put together something really extravagant that, you know, really cost you nothing to do.
I love that. Yeah. All right, good. All right, well, Tiff, thank you so much.
We're going to trade you out.
Thank you for having me.
And go Italian here. Enzo, come on in.
Well,
thanks, Tiff.
While they switch places, let's go back to Alex. Alex, that first drink was delicious.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit now about what you're going to make next.
The next drink, we're going to move a lot more along the lines of a savory side.
Okay.
So this drink is called the Diablo Rojo.
Mm.
It's
a little devil
based.
In the morning.
No, the red devil.
The red devil in the morning, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Don't you spreken Spanish?
Tequila-based drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to use 1.25 ounces of Ca Reposado tequila.
I love that bottle. It's a skull.
110 proof in a sugar skull.
Okay, cool. So,
it's like for the Dia de los Muertos.
Exactly.
That works you up.
All okay. Right.
Well, while you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
we are going to turn to Enzo Fargioni, whom we met at Teatro Goldoni about, 3 years ago?
Just about.
And we had a crazy meal, a meal that's, it was delicious. It was unbelievable.
Well, it was his chef's tasting menu, right?
Well, it was
correct.
Nuts, and now you're going to open a new restaurant in Penn Quarter.
Well, I decided to complicate my life again, so.
You want to make life difficult?
Even more difficult.
So when you left Teatro, you had decided initially to sort of take that concept of your chef's tasting menu and open up a restaurant in that style. Is that correct?
Pretty much. It was a long time coming, you know,
mm-hmm.
because after a while that you off, you know, you don't cook, I guess, you know, for me it's just about a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to each, you know, and you have to scratch that feeling that you have. You want to make sure that you want to go back and cook again. And, you know, basically, if I wake up one morning, I don't have a restaurant, I have to worry about it. Now I'm going crazy. So I've been going crazy for about, you know, a year and a half.
Right.
With a physical restaurant.
So you must be really crazy.
But
Well, so tell us about your new concept, Elisa.
Elixir means elixir
mm-hmm.
In English, which is a combination of beautiful and yummy things and mm-hmm. Creating one exceptional one.
But Elixir is not Italian, is it?
Elixir, yeah, sure. Elixir
Andy says
is
it is.
There's no vowel at the end.
You don't know your opera title.
Right. It depends how much you drink.
Shut up, Andy.
Right, we have an Italian here, and we have somebody else who's been to Italy. F2 say yes.
Okay.
You don't know.
Debbie, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless you.
Well, somebody should say that to him every now and then. My God. All right. Going on. So, please.
So, Elixir is pretty much a concept. It's a continuous search for taste, presentation, a combination of flavors. And
mm-hmm.
It's very, very much a personal interpretation of Italian, modern Italian cooking. It's almost like your relationship that you have, you know, with your own God. If you're religious or not, it's very personal. This is the same thing. It's very, very personal. So most of the time, I create food that necessarily really fit the rule,
mm-hmm.
but is I take something, I destroy it, combine with something completely different and new, and I create something that actually is mine. So
well, let me ask you a question, because you've been out a year and a half now.
Yes.
So when you left, you had an idea of what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Same idea now that you're actually doing it, or has it evolved in the last 18 months?
You know, every time I open a restaurant, you know, it's just lately, I was there in Elixir the other day, and I walked in, I see the way it turned out, and I'm like, you know, it didn't really turn out the way I expected. You know, it's different. So the concept, in a way, kind of changes according to the vibe that the place gives you as well. The concept has always been the same. It's always been trying to create something exceptional, something completely different, and mostly the best work that we can really possibly do.
But let's talk about the concept. I mean, what would you say if in, you know, two sentences or three sentences, how would you best explain what the restaurant concept is?
The restaurant concept is pretty much what you said before, which is spread out idea of a chef table that I mm-hmm. used to do back at the other restaurant.
So they're price fixed menus?
We are going to have actually two different kind of menus. We have two tasting menus, one for 7 course, the other one for 10 course.
Oh my God.
And then we're also going to have a very limited a la carte menu for those that don't feel like
doing
the whole thing, you know, do the experience or sit on the table for 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
So will there be small plates? I mean, how will it work?
Well, the tasting menu definitely is going to be a degustation menu, so it's going to be small plates.
I mean, not everybody eats like
and
you.
So on. But,
oh, my God.
But, or like me.
I resemble that remark.
But for,
I love when I make Andy laugh. It's so rare.
Yeah, you
but
know
when
what?
Andy
We've been on the air
snorts.
4 years. It's happened twice. So don't, you know.
But anyway, when he snorts, it's
let
the best.
Let Enzo talk. For God's sake. Stajita.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, chef. Excuse me.
She doesn't
me.
Know what I just said.
I don't care.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yes. I'm sorry. So you'll do two tasting menus
and then
a limited a la carte.
A limited a la carte menu. But, you know, we're pretty much going to have about 16 dishes in a la carte menu. So mm-hmm. pretty much two choices for each category.
And what kind of dishes? I mean, clearly it's Italian. I'm looking at pasta. But what can people expect? I mean, what are some of the dishes? Let's start with the a la carte, and then we can talk about your
Absolutely.
Tasting menus.
Well, a la carte, we're going to have a combination of cold appetizers, and we're going to recreate, of course, the long-awaited, as you said, the smoked branzino carpaccio in a cigar box that was very popular.
No, which we had, which was awesome.
Gorgeous.
And we're going to have a different, you know, we're going to have a veal, cold veal appetizer, and then, of course, a combination of artichokes. So we're going to really take advantage of the winter artichokes. So we're going to go ahead and proposing 7-8 different kind of ways in the same plate. Mm-hmm. You know, all about artichokes. So if you don't like artichokes, you're a lock.
Oh, I love
carciofi.
Yeah, I do too. But,
and same thing for a hot appetizer. And then we're going to have one soup. And all each and every dish has been designed to really wow you. Mm-hmm. Well, at least we like to think so.
Okay.
So a lot of dedication, a lot of time has been really put into each dish to really say, you know, I'm not having the tasting menu, but I'm having a la carte menu, and I still have the same effect, the same, you know, pleasure to actually, and the same experience mostly,
well,
which is more important.
The thing, when you, 18 months ago,
yes.
when you went out to do this, I mean, in the last, really, 2 years, there has been almost like a blossoming of lots of different Italian
Yes.
Offerings in the city. You have down at the sort of the family style end, Carmine's, which is serving big plates of
right.
stuff. You got Graffiato and Mike, you know, Mike Isabella.
Well, I know, you're making very long.
Well, you know what?
What?
It's my show. You're
okay,
off.
Have at it.
No. But here's the question. Has that affected, as you've been waiting 18 months to do this, how you approach this? Because yours is an approach that sort of falls at the high end.
But it's definitely a fine dining end. But however, you know, think about where we're located and 11th Street and Pennsylvania between Pennsylvania and E. So it's incredible food traffic, you know,
yeah.
in there. So for lunch, I'm actually changing the concept. Probably we're stepping 3-4 steps down to the fine dining concept, and we're going to actually offer a Elisir Bistro for lunch only to make it not affordable, but just a simple kind of cuisine that people can actually come in and out and know that you can afford it twice a week if you want to.
How will the menu change for
the
lunch?
The menu will change completely.
Okay, radically.
Yes.
Okay.
Imagine a much faster menu for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 45 minutes, 30 minutes, you can come in and have your appetizer, your pasta dish, your entree, your dessert, and mm-hmm. you can still go back to the office and be okay.
And be okay.
And pretty much the price range in about $20 to $25 price average per person for lunch.
Well, that makes it so much more doable because I think the days of fine dining at lunch really have gone by the wayside. I mean, it's not how people want to eat, nor do they have the time for it.
No, fine dining for lunch. I don't want to say it's dead, but definitely there's not that much of a demand
mm-hmm.
as probably used to be in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, sure, even 5 years ago.
So we had to somehow kind of change and according with the market and the mm-hmm. request and the need in order to make people happy. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're very humble people. That's what we would like to stress. We're doing what we believe is right,
mm-hmm.
with what we feel professionally,
mm-hmm.
And we work within parameters of professionalism. But the first priority for us is to make our customer happy and give them what they want.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I really want to talk to you about who you've hired and who maybe from your old days is we're going to see back at the new restaurant. And we want to give people really more ideas about the tasting menu, but we do have to take a commercial break. We are sipping on something. I don't know what this is.
What is this, Alex? Fire.
This is the Diablo Rojo. It's 110 proof Reposado tequila with a habanero extraction.
There you go.
Teleterry peppercorn tincture, house-made aromatic and celery bitters.
Oh, my God.
With 3/4 of an ounce of Aperol.
And what's the little paper in there?
It's a dehydrated Spanish black radish skin.
Okay. And on that note, we are going to take a break.
I took one sip. My temperature went up to 106.
This is David and Nikki Nellis on Foodie and the Beast. If we can make it through this drink, we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a farm fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy farm fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with Chef Enzo Fargione, and we're talking about his new restaurant, and we are eating...
What are we eating?
We're eating reverse spaghetti carbonara appetizers. I don't know what you call this. What is it? These are unbelievable.
But again, this kind of pretty much reflects the concept of Elisir, which is a modern way of cooking, but a very personalized one. So, you know, you do, for instance, spaghetti carbonara, it's been done over and over and over, which is a great, delicious dish. But if you create an appetite openers or amuse bouche, so that's what I decided to do, which we do a reverse spaghetti carbonara. You do the sauce for the spaghetti carbonara.
I still like that.
Well, imagine a bamboo mat for like sushi mat.
Oh, okay.
So just out of spaghetti, cooked spaghetti, and then you pipe in the carbonara sauce, solidifies, and you put the dill flour, and then...
What is the deer flour?
Dill? Well, it's just the flour. The dill, fresh dill, and then the flour.
Dill.
It's my accent.
It's
my accent or whatever you guys drink in the sugar rush. And
yeah, you're drinking it too. Don't just call
this
us out.
This is so good.
It really is. That is such an interesting concept and is delicious. Why don't you let the other chefs try it too?
It's really, really lovely.
All right, so Chef, tell us about some of the people who, I mean, did you go back to your old guys at Teatro? Did you hire some of the old staff? Will it feel similar to people?
No, well... there are a couple of people I worked with that was we had a great experience. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not known to be a chef that going to steal people from other restaurants. I just don't do that. You know, okay. I just don't like to do that. Mm-hmm. I like to surround myself with people that are naturally and genuinely passionate by food and wine.
Okay. We're right here. We're right in front of you. Right. We're the passion.
With that, you can actually mold the way you want for the concept of the restaurant and what you want to prepare and do. So, for instance, for the general manager, we had a general manager, dining director, and sommelier that comes from the Hay Adams. His name is Justin Kramer. Most recently was a restaurant Eve. We have a chef, the cuisine, his name is Michael Fusano, that his mentor was Chef Gatsby out in California.
Okay.
So tasting menus all around and also in Chicago. We have great people that we're surrounded by, for instance, a mixologist, Steve O'Shana, which is incredible. You know, he's putting together an incredible program really for the bar.
Well, let's talk about the bar quickly because we don't have a lot of time left. The mixology program, I mean, I think when people think of your cuisine, especially from Teatro, they think wine. Right? I mean, you just think wine pairing. So are you putting together a huge wine program? Are you focusing, has that changed, you know, with the rise of mixologists and the beer programs everywhere, does that change the kinds of things?
You ask long questions, too.
Does that change the kinds of things you serve? Yeah, but my questions are interesting. Does that change the kinds of things you serve?
It doesn't necessarily change it. It makes it a little bit more interesting, I would say. Mm-hmm. And explain why. Because, for instance, we have our own aging barrels. We do our own bourbon. And we have our own carbonated bottling kit. And we're going to do our own mixes, for instance, Negroni and so on. And, and then we're going to kind of bottle, put a label
the
on
Italians
it.
Italians are big cocktail drinkers, too.
Well,
it just depends on the cocktail.
It depends how much you eat, yes.
But what you don't eat.
If you can finish your wine, you move on to the cocktails. Yes. Right?
Chef, can you tell us when you're going to be opening?
We should be open in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks?
Just before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay, and where? Where are you?
Well, give us the address and the web address.
427 11th Street, Northwest, right between East Street and Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's great.
Okay,
what a location.
Excellent. We cannot wait. Awesome. We're really excited for you.
It'll be great to see you guys in whenever we open. And I'm sure I will.
When you see that tent out in front of the restaurant, it won't be Occupy Washington. It'll be me waiting for the restaurant.
Waiting for the restaurant to open.
All right. Thank you,
Alex,
Chef.
We're going to go back to you, Chef. Thanks for joining us. This could be my new favorite drink. I love it. Cool. But I need to know what the black radish adds to the drink.
The black radish, it is an edible garnish. It is very functional for the drink itself. You can eat it afterwards. It does soak up a little bit of the heat, but you get a very mellow spice out of it that really rounds out the drink. So basically the death sauce or habanero extraction that's in it really doesn't overpower it.
Well, I have to be honest with you. Even though it's a spicy drink, it's not... It's a warm spicy. It sort of... It doesn't make you, you know what I mean? It doesn't choke you. Like
I think
some spice
because
can.
You're sipping it. I chugged it.
And you know, nothing can be said about that. And so how much freedom are you given at Chabro? I mean, are they just like go crazy, Alex?
It's almost infinite. The amount of freedom's it's so insane.
I would like infinite freedom. That sounds good.
It's, you know, I
just
gave
it to you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'm able to make a bunch of stuff in-house from all of our bitters to the liqueurs and cordials. So I get, you know, a lot of room to play. And it's fun to be able to walk back into the kitchen, into, you know, dry storage and start rating stuff back there. Instead of just going through order sheets and just getting all the standards.
Right. So when you came up with the last cocktail, for example, is that just you playing or did you have in mind what you wanted to do? Were you looking for a flavor?
You always start with a basic idea or a flavor profile. It's very much similar to writing a song. Mm-hmm. The same thing with naming a cocktail or something like that. You start with a basic idea and then you play with it. I do everything in mark stages. So you have mark one through however many it takes to get it right. But, you know, you put in new stuff, take out other stuff, and just see where it goes until you get that desired effect that you were looking for. It's very much based off of, you know, emotion and things like that.
Well, and I assume you're working with the chef at Chabro. I mean, does he say to you, listen, how old is that chef? He's so young.
We're both the same age. We're both 26.
Oh, my God. You're both babies. But... What?
She didn't mean to be condescending by that, Alex.
No,
she's just
you're
envious
young.
Of your youth.
Envy.
Your ute.
Envy.
Right.
But how do you guys work together with the food he's putting together and the cocktails? Is there a partnership?
We've actually gotten a lot more into that. We are going to start doing cocktail pairings with dishes as well. For like a pre-fee menu or something like that, we do wine pairings. But for some of them, we actually want to recommend cocktail pairings as well. It's really awesome to see people coming in. You know, they can drink fine wine. They eat great food. But what's awesome is to see that people are learning that they can drink well as far as cocktails go as well.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to you after we talk DuPont Grill, but I'm going to give you an assignment because in your bio it says that people can tell you their emotions, and you're going to, you mix up a drink, invent a drink to match that. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling a little whimsical, a little sad, and a little happy.
Sad, whimsical, and happy.
Yeah, let's see what you can do with that.
Have fun. Good luck with that. Shot of tequila.
While you're doing that, we've got in the studio now Executive Chef Sylvain Kramer and Executive Sous Chef David Fritche. Did I do it right?
You did.
Give me five, baby. All right.
And they brought in lots of plates.
From the DuPont Grill, they brought in a bunch of stuff. I know the DuPont Grill from a million years ago because when it opened, I have a marketing agency. We came in and did the website and the film, and I knew Russell Cunningham, who was the chef that opened it up. And it was always, it's in a great location. It's really right there on the circle. And you guys have a beautiful, you know, that open window area out under the circle. So tell us what you're doing there.
We actually reopened it like 1.5 years ago. The hotel, it's based in the DuPont Circle Hotel, got through a lot of renovations, and we reopened 1.5 years ago as a modern French brasserie. And mm-hmm. The name actually changed to Café DuPont at that time as well. We do modern brasserie food. It's very French-driven what we do, but we present it in a more modern way. Mm-hmm. And have some regional and seasonal influences in all our dishes.
Well, Chef Kramer, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and how you wound up at the restaurant?
I am originally from Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I started cooking when I was 15 years old back home. I made apprenticeship, like it's traditional in Europe. For 3 years, I worked in a restaurant. I worked a lot of different restaurants in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Moved on to the hotels then. I worked in Dubai for 3 years. I worked in Ireland for a while. Then came to the U.S. I was at the Essex House in New York for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago came to D.C. as the executive chef for DuPont Circle Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I'm reopening Café DuPont with the new restaurant concept.
So as you were putting together this new concept, what were some of the things you were really looking to put on the menu?
We basically first had a look in the area and the neighborhood and had a look what is needed in DuPont Circle area. We want to be a neighborhood restaurant and not like a hotel restaurant. Mm-hmm. We really want to cater and be there for the neighborhood. That's why also our price point and everything, it's more of a single standing restaurant than a hotel restaurant.
Right.
And it's really seasonal products we use. We change our menu four times a year. And
why don't you tell us what we're looking at here? Because this is beautiful. I don't. Is that potato?
Looks like sweet potato.
No, then we have sweet potato gratin.
Oh, sweet potato.
Beautiful. And then topped with braised pork belly, Berkshire pork belly.
A little bit of parsley puree.
And finish off with a little bit of creme de cassis.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And is that a regular feature right now on the menu?
We just put it on the menu 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago? So you just launched your fall menu.
Yeah, wait, let's jump in real quick. Chef David, where are you from? What's your background?
I'm from Switzerland. Doing pretty much the same as...
Are there any chefs left in Switzerland now?
No good ones.
No good ones?
No, basically, I did pretty much the same thing as Sylvain. I did my apprenticeship back in Switzerland. I worked in Switzerland 2 years, and then I moved to Dubai as well, where I met Sylvain.
You were in Dubai in the good years or the bad years?
In the good years.
That's why they're here.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And then I left Dubai. I went to Ireland with Sylvain, and then he left Ireland to New York, and I joined him a year later.
Well, the hotel is a jury's hotel, isn't it?
Correct. Right, it's a jury's hotel, right. But we worked for different company in Ireland, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now that you're launched your fall menu, you guys, I mean, I know you're a restaurant, but it is in a hotel.
Correct.
So you have different rules than other restaurants. Are you guys open from, like, the crack of dawn till the crack of dawn? Is it 24 hours?
Pretty much, okay. Yeah. Like we open at 6:30 for breakfast, and then the restaurant is open for breakfast. We close for lunch, and we reopen at 5:30 and do dinner service. But the bar opens at 11, where we serve food all day.
And you provide and you do the food for the menu for that.
Exactly,
area
it's
as
all
well.
It's all out of one kitchen.
Okay.
So that's more like a American driven bar menu we do in there.
What are a couple examples of the kinds of things you can find on there?
We do a local cheese and charcuterie on there. We have different homemade flatbreads. We do burgers, good sandwiches, salads. It's a pretty wide variety. And then some of the dishes we do in the cafe as well, we also have on the bar menu. Like our mussels are pretty good and people like to come in for the mussels. And then, yeah, the bar is open till 2, 3 in the morning on the weekends.
So you're busy.
Yeah, and then we have banquets next to it, like up to 300 people banquet space.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a wedding for 160 people last night.
You know, there's a little Governor Schwarzenegger in your voice.
I hear that before.
Let me say, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
There it is. that back.
Well, actually, on that note,
we'll be back too.
We're going to be back too. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I can't do. Do you want to say we'll be right back? We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Excellent. I love it. We'll be back in just a sec.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army's service of every generation.
Get the business day started at Founding Farmers with a Farm Fresh breakfast and the perfect location for meetings of all types. Enjoy Farm Fresh eggs to order, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, our special waffles, a variety of side orders like thick-cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house-made jams and jellies. Put some power into your day with free Wi-Fi, Intelligentsia coffees, and fresh hand-squeezed juices. Located at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers has breakfast ready from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays to help you get a jump start on the competition. See the menus and reserve today at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank the sponsors that make this show possible. Our good friends at Georgetown Bagelry, without whom I would have a 32-inch waist. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley.
You can't blame the bagels, I have to be honest. It's not just the bagels.
Oh, my God, you are so mean.
I know.
You get a spanking later.
Oh, fucking me.
All right. Our friends down at Founding Farmers, the folks from Modus Hotels and their restaurants, Notte Bianchi, Dish, Circle Bistro, Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. Mm-hmm. Bethesda Central Farm Market, now open year-round, everybody, every Sunday.
And every Sunday after the show, must go to Bethesda Central Farm Market.
And a new sponsor coming on board, Carmine's.
Mm-hmm.
Hubba hubba.
We have big news on them later
on. All right, so let's go back to Sylvan and Chef Sylvan and Chef David.
Guys, so sorry, I really can't say anything because my hands and my mouth are full with pork
belly. I'm about to eat. But while we're eating, will you tell everybody, I want to make sure everybody knows where exactly the restaurant is, where you are on the web, and let's talk a little Thanksgiving, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll eat.
Okay.
All right, Café DuPont. We're located right on DuPont Circle in the DuPont Circle Hotel on 1500 New Hampshire Avenue.
Terrible location.
Terrible location.
Terrible.
Bar DuPont is part of us as well, which is just has the big glass windows overlooking DuPont Circle.
Mm-hmm.
We open for brunch Saturday and Sunday as well from 7 to 2:30. And 2 weeks, Thanksgiving is coming up. We open for lunch in the cafe as well. We normally close. We open up by 11:30.
Okay.
And we do a family-style Thanksgiving lunch and dinner. It goes throughout the entire afternoon, so we open there. And we do traditional turkey along with the limited a la carte. And we also promote turkey dinner for the neighborhood to go. So people can pre-order their turkeys if they don't feel like cooking at home or they don't have the space available. We're going to make turkeys with all the trimmings for them, which they can pick up on Thanksgiving.
How far in advance do you need to order for that?
48 hours.
48 hours?
Yes.
That's pretty good. I think I'm hearing more and more places offering to go, so I assume the demand is there for it.
It's definitely there. A lot of people don't have the kitchens to cook in. They don't want to cook. They don't have the time, but they still want to have a good meal.
Sure.
And do the entertainment at home and have friends and family over, so it's an easy way to do so.
Okay, my husband is making a mess out of this dish. What is he eating?
What's this? Red wine poached apples.
Red wine poached apples.
Yummy.
Just caramelized with sugar, apples in there.
What kind of pate?
Foie gras.
Foie gras, oh.
Yep.
This is such a terrible show. It is. I don't even know how to explain how hard it is for me to do this show between
the great
folk
thing
off.
Is, I don't know anything, and I just get to show up and shove this stuff in my face. I love it.
That's the best part, isn't it?
It is. All right. So, lastly, chefs, just tell everybody where they can find you. Let's give the address, the website, the whole deal, please.
All right. It's Café DuPont in the DuPont Circle Hotel at 1500 New Hampshire Avenue.
Great.
You find us on the www.doylecollection.com or we on Facebook under Café DuPont and Bar DuPont on Facebook as well.
And I just want to let people know that you have a gorgeous patio that is terrific to sit at. It's open still,
it's right
yes?
It's still open. We have heaters out, so even when it's chilly, we have blankets.
And you can sit and kibitz all
people
the chess
watch.
Games on the circle and people watch.
It. Exactly. People
it's a great spot for people watching.
Absolutely.
And like beautiful days like today, it's
perfect.
Awesome. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you so Thank much. You. Thanks for bringing in all this delicious
yes,
food.
Yes, you can take the plates back, but the food stays.
Okay.
Alex, let's go back to you.
What
I'm whimsical,
you,
I'm happy, I'm sad.
What
I'm
did you
whimsical,
make here?
Happy and sad.
I've experienced a full range of emotions waiting for this drink.
Mm. I'm doing a variation of a frozen and or hot chocolate. It's also combined with coffee from a company called Dublin Roasters out of Frederick that's local as well.
I went there. I went to Dublin Roasters. No, you haven't been there. I was there.
No, they do
we,
a...
No,
have...
there's no way. Just
there's
me.
No way.
Oh, my God.
I was there when I was out visiting Alex.
No, wait, never mind.
Okay.
I don't know you.
Okay, good.
they do a signature coffee blend for us, so I incorporated that into
God,
the main mix for the hot chocolate, which is tempered Belgian dark chocolate pellets, some heavy cream with Dublin Roasters Chabro Bistro blend coffee, as well as a little bit of orgeet syrup, which is an almond extract syrup.
My God, it beats the Frappuccino by a mile and a half here.
Did you go to the CIA? I mean, did you go to chef school at all to learn, like, tempering chocolate? Or you just figured it
Not
out?
Not at all. It's more of a pick it up as you go. When I started, as you'll ask any bartender, we all will say we just fell into it. But you can ask any bartender. And it was basically when I started with all of this, I was very, very fortunate. My roommate in New York was a gentleman by the name of Leo DeGroff.
Okay.
Who is Dale DeGroff's son.
I was going to say, Dale DeGroff is like the
widely regarded as the father of modern mixology and cocktail creation, and then worked under my first bar managers, Willie Schein and Aisha Sharp of Contemporary Cocktails. So, you know, you can set that bar for yourself, whether you want to be a beer and shot bartender and, you know, it's just a paycheck, or you can go to that other, you know, that other plane and start creating your own and taking the classics and bringing them to a new level and modernizing things.
Well, I need a favor.
Our son, you already asked for a favor.
Our son Sam, by the way, this drink is delish.
Yummy.
It's great. Our son Sam is a struggling actor in Chicago, and we've told him that he should get into mixology. So next time he comes home, I want him to come stage with you. So he can.
Sure.
Do people do that? Are people staging with you yet?
Mm-hmm.
It must be fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like having little interns. Mm-hmm. But basically, I mean, they just do the things that I don't want to do.
Right, well, that's what a
we'll
stage
just watch
is.
Him. He'll drink everything that's behind
I'm sure
the bar.
Both chefs in here have staged, yes?
Yes.
And what'd you do, peel potatoes, right?
We've all picked
produce.
All
right.
Okay, so what are you going to make next? And while you're making it, just tell us a little bit how you work with Chef to complement the menu that he's doing.
Well, let's see. First, about the drink. Like I said, the Belgian dark chocolate incorporates the local Dublin Roasters coffee as well with a little orgeet syrup. I'm also using rum chata, which is a Caribbean rum cream liqueur.
Oh.
Lots of hazelnut, baking
just
spice.
Just a real low-calorie drink.
No,
right?
Yeah, totally.
So
Belgian dark
diet.
Chocolate and, yeah, milk.
I get it. Okay, good.
And then I'm also using a house-made burnt caramel tincture.
Okay.
Which gives it a nice little bit of heat to it as well. And a Lazzaroni Italian Amaretto with Godiva white chocolate liqueur.
Wow.
It's very simple, but
it doesn't sound simple. That does not sound simple to me.
I'm just going to whip one up
right
now.
I'll just leave all this stuff here.
Thank
for you.
You. Excellent.
But
so how do you work with Chef?
We do work hand in hand a lot. It's kind of a playful back and forth kind of thing. It basically stems from, you know, playful insults, but then we come up with, you know, something that's pretty cool.
Kind of like my marriage. Playful.
Playful.
I'm not going to judge.
Okay. Right. No judgments. I love that. No judgments.
But it is. It's very lax. It's brought up randomly. We'll look at the menu. For example, we did a dinner for a distillery out of Maxwellton, West Virginia, called Smooth Ambler. Really, really great guys. We did a custom 3-course prefix menu for them. And